Thank you for finding Sunday night's Main Event, Canada's premier wrestling radio show. You're about to hear hour one of the program, but if you'd like the full show, commercial free, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. Contributions start for as little as $4 a month. That's a buck a show. Less when a month has 5 weeks. And along with that, you also get the Patreon-exclusive podcasts. So visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. And now, on with the show.
The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Impact presents Bound for Glory 2018. UFC at MSG gets a new main event, and the crown jewel controversy hits an all-new level. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's Main Event. Jason Agnew here for 2 hours of wrestling chatter and perhaps anger tonight, as Dan the Mouth Adransky is with me in studio and has watched his first sampling of Impact Wrestling in a year, and we'll get all of his very loud thoughts on the show tonight. Then I guarantee we will give you the most news-focused program we have ever done as we take a look at the situation surrounding Saudi Arabia and the controversy in regards to the WWE running their crown jewel event there in a couple weeks' time. Plus, Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer Insider, an Impact edition of Turnbuckle Trivia, and your phone calls. We are live this week. We are on the air right at 11 p.m., no waiting for football, so we're hoping to hear you fill the lines. 1-866-729-2562. That's 1-866-729-2562. Plus, check out the Sunday Night Survey on Twitter at SNME Radio. Taking a break and back with our rundown of Impact Wrestling Bound for Glory 2018. Where everything just stayed the same as it used to be. This is Sunday night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Impact's got him up!
Johnny Impact, your new world champion. Now, one thing that you couldn't hear there, along with Josh's voice, who was having a real hard time by the end of the show, Mouth.
Poor guy. He was hoarse by the main event, and you could tell he was really hurting bad.
But one of the things that you didn't hear in that clip is Austin Aries just getting up immediately after the finish and storming up the ramp and giving the crowd the double bird.
Yes, to quote one of the ads we just heard, he was out of there like a bat out of hell.
Yeah, he was indeed. That was, we'll see if there's anything to that on tonight's show. But Mouth, welcome back to Impact Wrestling.
Before we get into the recap here, I just want to fill everybody in. It's been exactly 1 year since I last watched Impact after all the stuff that went down with Jay and I and the Fight Network and our previous employers and the previous show. It was right at this time last year that they gave us the axe. And so I have not watched Impact since. And Jay said, you know, Mouth, are you interested in coming on? We'll do this show together. And I thought, okay, you know what? Sure, let's do it. I'll watch it and see what's going on.
I had told you that Slammiversary was a quality pay-per-view. It was excellent, even though there were three hardcore matches on it. They seemed to do something different in each one. So I maybe that was part of my mistake, was giving you a little bit of expectation this show.
Well, and you weren't the only one, Jay. There was a lot of praise for Slammiversary, and it even helped the TV ratings for a little while. The numbers actually went up a bit after Slammiversary. So I understood that. I didn't watch it, though.
Well, you didn't. Well, you did tonight. So we're getting your fresh perspective where I believe this could all be wrapped up in the phrase, everything. everything old is new again.
It was, there was a lot of stuff where I just went, what's different about this?
Yeah. So it's coming to us from the Melrose Ballroom tonight. This is where MLW held Battle Riot, and Mouth just opened the night with, it looks very small.
It does, though.
It did.
Like, Jay and I went to a local promotion, Greektown Wrestling, and the venue that they're in looked bigger to me than this.
Well, there was more space at ringside. I'll give them that.
Yes.
Because there was zero space at ringside for these guys tonight. Match number one, local boy, Ethan Page, no longer related to Chris Park and Park. now with Matt Sydal in a tag team versus Rich Swann and his opponent that was announced last week on TV, Willie Mack. I had to run down and get pizza here, Mouth. This match, though, was the opener tonight.
Yeah.
How was the match?
It wasn't actually that bad. It was obvious early on, you could tell that they were going to have trouble because there was no room between the ring and the guardrail in the crowd. Very small space there. But I thought these guys, they worked hard. People were obviously happy to see Willie Mack come back. And Swann pinned Sydal with the Phoenix Splash. That's how the match went. I thought, yeah, okay, you know, not a bad opener, not a great match, but I thought, yeah, okay, good opener. And crowd seemed to be into it, so I thought, okay, people are there to see this. And then poor Willie Mack goes to do a promo at the end of the match, and they hand him a mic. Mic doesn't work. They hand him a second mic. Mic doesn't work. So there I'm thinking, okay, this is Impact all the way. And then what he did was he went and grabbed two guys that had crappy seats and put them in two seats in the front row and thanked their sponsor, Comda.com, for doing this. I just thought it was so weird for the wrestlers.
It was low rent. It was really low rent.
I just thought it's so weird for the wrestlers to have to do this kind of thing after their match. So, yeah, and I have no idea who Comda.com are.
Well, I'm sure you could look it up by. You have a computer right in front of you there.
Yeah, and that shows you how interested I was.
Yeah, no, don't do it.
Because I didn't look.
It cuts to the announcers who are up in the balcony for this. The shot is out of focus. They still keep pushing this Comda.com thing. Then they cut to a TMZ clip with Johnny Impact and Taya Valkyrie here. And they're talking about the whole Austin Aries situation. This seemed forced. Listen, if Impact wanted to capitalize on TMZ, all they had to do in this pay-per-view was put RJ City and David Arquette on. Because every time I look on TMZ, David Arquette and RJ City are doing some wacky little bit in promo.
Yeah, Arquette is getting a lot of attention lately for all the wrestling stuff he's doing. So you're right. It would have been a lot better than what we saw.
So they play that up, and then they cut to the Abyss Hall of Fame induction, and they show the riot that broke out at the end there with Aries and Impact doing their best imitation of John Jones and Daniel Cormier brawling where they knocked over the backdrop. The announcers are then confused. They throw to the back. Someone's beat up Conan. LAX shows up. Conan says King took him out, so Conan can't compete tonight. It'll be a 3-on-2 match later, and that will be a doozy of a match. Just wait till we get there.
Yeah.
Eli Drake Open Challenge is next. Now, Mouth, I mean, I had said to you,
yes,
the Eli Drake Open Challenge, he was requesting someone from New York. And I had thought they're going to put this on maybe second to last, and this is where Jericho will pop out. Mm. I mean, he was born in New York because his dad played for the Rangers.
Yep.
And when they came out second, I knew they weren't going with this. But I could not imagine that it would get this bad. Because he comes out, he says something about New York being about pizza, which I thought was weird.
I thought that was Chicago.
He insults the Giants in the front row. Then James Ellsworth comes out, who's not from New York. He defends New York City. Drake points out that he's not from New York. Ellsworth cleverly said he dated a girl from Staten Island and lived in her basement. He gets booed for all of this. Then they gave him a very loud F.U. Ellsworth chant.
Yes.
And they didn't keep it polite like I did on terrestrial radio. Ellsworth does his line about a man who has two hands, and then he punches Drake in the face. The crowd is firmly behind Eli Drake here. He makes quick work of Ellsworth. Listen, Bully Ray would have been better. Cass would have been Benzer. Coming out.
Yeah, Jay actually suggested Cass, and I thought, you know what? That's what it's going to be.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
Like, even if he had come out after Ellsworth here and defeated Drake because then Drake could say, oh, well, you didn't beat me. I had to beat someone else up before. Instead, Drake gets back on the mic. He says he wanted the best tonight. He wanted a Hall of Famer. Abyss comes out to little to no reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Puts him through a table. I thought this segment was
terrible.
Horrendous.
It was.
And disappointing because of the promise
not a promise, but because when you do an open challenge and you promote it on a pay-per-view, there's an expectation that goes into it.
Yes.
And it did not live up to the expectation.
Yes, it's going to be something of value. It's going to be something of note. It's a reason to take interest. James Ellsworth is pretty well the last choice I would have picked for something like this. And then the silliness with Abyss afterwards, who just came out and gave Drake a black hole slam and put him through the table. And that was it. It was, the whole thing was a ridiculous mess. And totally, one of the reasons I stopped watching Impact in the first place was because of stuff like this. Just horrible and a terrible letdown.
Tessa Blanchard is outside just walking down the street and she gets interrupted by a reporter. Tess ends up saying that Taya will find out. It's all about the Knockouts Championship tonight. I found a lot of these promos tonight, very straightforward promos. The Knockouts Championship is second!
Yes.
Or sorry, third on the card. Yeah. It's third on the card.
Yeah.
Now, I figured that because I was like, well, why would you put this Knockouts match here when you have another Knockouts match later?
Well,
that was a whole other thing.
Yeah, there's an exact reason that was,
It's a Knockouts Championship. It's Tessa versus Taya Valkyrie. Listen, from what I've seen of Tessa Blanchard, she's a very strong in-ring performer. I did not think that these two really jived tonight like they could have. I thought they were sloppier than I expected them to be.
I mean, Tessa's the more talented worker of the two, and I think she was having a lot of trouble working with Valkyrie in this one. I mean, they tried, and I think the crowd was into it in parts, but it did have some sloppiness on it, like Tessa trying to do the Road to Valhalla didn't really work out.
They did a very sad ref distraction spot in this match where he was too concerned about putting the ring apron back together, and he's late on a count because of it. I was just like, that's not a reason, pal. Yeah. What are you doing that for? This one ends with the buzzsaw DDT.
Tessa won with the top rope code breaker.
That's right. Yeah. So when she hit the buzzsaw DDT, I did think the match perked up there because Taya kicks out, and I thought that was a decent moveset between the two of them. I actually thought that was the finish and bit on it, but yeah, Tessa hits the flying code breaker and gets the pin here. Not as strong as I would have thought. Not bad, but not as strong as I would have thought.
Right.
Again, what's her name is outside
Mackenzie
with Moose.
With the African King now.
This was really weird. So Moose is dressed like a king. He looks like he's got like a Wakanda garb going on here.
It's kind of your classic African royalty clothing. Yeah.
He says kings wear this in his culture. It was a very average promo about beating Eddie Edwards tonight.
And
nothing significant.
Why were all the promos out in the street?
I don't know.
Like, why weren't they backstage?
Maybe there wasn't a backstage, seeing the size of this venue.
Small, there was no backstage. I thought that was weird that all the promos to set up things in the show were all taped outside. I thought that was really weird.
Up next, we have Moose versus Eddie Edwards. Moose gets a complete makeover.
Yes.
He's now a bargain basement godfather as he comes to the ring with three random women. Like, his character got a complete overhaul between the vignette and coming down to the ring.
He had a completely different outfit. He had no hat. He had the shiny jacket. It was completely different.
Now, this match has nothing to it. It's Moose versus Eddie Edwards, and Killer Kross is in the audience. He grabs Eddie. The match is thrown out. Then, another Greek Town reference here, Mouth.
Yes.
Tommy Dreamer, who we just saw live 2 weeks ago, comes down to the ring. They have The crowd enjoyed this match. I'm going to give them that. I thought the crowd was really into this match. I was not into this match.
I didn't enjoy it.
You were not. But I thought that the crowd really got behind this. Eddie and Moose traded some crazy hard chops in this match.
Yeah, but basically Dreamer comes out to save Eddie Edwards, so they turned it into a tag match. And there was like some, Tommy Dreamer drinking water and then spitting it into Eddie's mouth, and then he spit it across, which I just thought was gross. I didn't think it was hardcore extreme. I just thought it was gross. Something happened with one of the New York Giants that was there at ringside with Moose, where they were insinuating that he pushed Moose, but then the guy just seemed to be laughing, and then Moose didn't really react to it, so I'm not even really sure what that was even there for.
Yeah.
Moose and Eddie did a back-and-forth chop fest, which we saw in almost every single match tonight, it seemed like. And Eddie ended up pinning Moose after a schoolboy. The crowd, like Jay said, the crowd liked it, but I didn't like it. I thought it was just too much of a sloppy mess. And I thought, Eddie pins Moose. Why couldn't we just head the singles match? Why did we have to turn this into a tag?
For Tommy.
It made
the novelty of Tommy Dreamer.
For Tommy Dreamer. Yeah. It made no sense to me. Yeah. It added nothing. It made it worse. In fact, I think a singles match between the two would have been a lot better. And then they did this wicked spot afterwards, which was pretty nasty, actually, where Cross and Moose beat up Eddie, and they powerbombed him on the ring apron, and they, like, really powerbombed him on the ring apron. I wouldn't be surprised if he's hurting from that spot. So obviously, Moose and Eddie feud must continue.
There's a vignette now. It's Sami Callihan, OVE. They're taking over everything. Again, very standard. Match number 5 is Callihan and OVE versus Pentagon, Phoenix, and Brian Cage. Now, here, the venue provided a great deal of problem with this match. When you put all of these performers
high
in
flyers.
The ring, they're high flyers. You expect spectacular things out of them. And it was very tough in this venue because there was so little space at ringside to work with. Now, this started off with a barrage of super kicks and lots of high-flying moves. I didn't find that the crowd really bit into this as much as I expected they would, and I think the performers expected they would as well.
Well, sure, of course. I mean, that kind of stuff is, you know, the crowd loves the kind of stuff, and they were doing some crazy stuff, too. You know, Phoenix and Pentagon doing their stomping pile driver combo. A Pentagon did a really wicked-looking Pentagon driver at one point. Callahan pile drove Pentagon on the apron. Like, they were doing a lot of crazy stuff, but yeah, crowd really didn't seem to be too interested in this one. Cage took a bunch of kicks while he was on his knees, whole ton of super kicks all at once, and then Callahan gave him a pile driver and pinned him, and I guess that's to set up the title match. Since Cage is X Division champion, I guess Callahan will probably get a shot at the title next.
Guess that's the program you go into from
here,
which
think
does
that, but then
makes
again,
sense.
It's Impact, so okay. Who knows, right? Who knows?
All right. Backstage interview with Austin Aries. The question is, what can we expect of Aries? Says this place is on life support, and he showed up and brought it back to life. Johnny Impact is too busy for this place. He doesn't trust anyone, though. So he then said to Impact he was going to leave his guys in the back, but no, bring them down to ringside. You bring your wife on down. We'll make it a family affair. We didn't go to that next. Instead, we went to a concrete jungle deathmatch. And I do think deathmatch is an appropriate name for this because
it killed
this
us.
Was
scary.
Oh, no, this was, I just mean that the condition that they were put in. So it's the OGs versus LAX. Of course, Conan is not there because he was taken out. Now, the way they set this up, and Mouth, I know, listen, a lot of people did not see the show tonight, so we must explain how they set this up.
Yeah, we have, of course. It was ridiculous.
They have taken the ring apron off, like the ring covering off. They've taken the padding off.
Right.
They've taken the turnbuckles off. It is just
boards.
The loose boards. The loose boards.
Yes.
Not secured at all.
Wait, when you make a ring and you lay it out, you have the metal frame, and then you put the boards across it, and then you put the padding and the cover on top of it.
And the padding and the cover secure down the boards.
Right, that's right. Yeah, and the poor, I felt for the referee in this match. The poor referee spent 95% of the match trying to keep the boards on the ring so these guys wouldn't kill each other.
Well, they fall through, Mouth. Like, there were huge holes.
It was incredibly unsafe and really not very practical, and I can't believe it actually made it to this stage because it was, and the match itself just turned into like a just totally messed up brawl.
I feel as though they came up with this idea and did not give it a trial, like run through.
I agree. They could have come up with it this afternoon and just sitting around going, oh, you know, let's do this. And there was, I don't think any thought really went into it. Like I said, the ref spent the entire match trying to keep the boards in place. There was a lot of nasty spots, and then of course hit out all the other stuff, trash can. Hernandez got hit in the head almost right after the match started and was bleeding right away. They went for about 8 minutes or so of craziness, and then Conan finally came back with his slapjack, and they all managed to pin King after the street sweeper off the top, which is their big finishing move there. So LAX get their revenge, but again, we'd already seen kind of a crazy hardcore match like this earlier, right? And this one, I didn't think it was good. I just thought it was really sloppy. And I thought it was really quite unsafe for the performers, too.
I didn't like this at all. And I also did not like its placement, as you mentioned. Following Callahan and OVE versus Pentagon Phoenix and Brian Cage, you have two tag matches that are and they both had flying in them as well. And it was a lot of bodies in both matches.
And we also had it with Moose and Cross and Dreamer and Edwards, the match before that. Like, this is like three matches in a row.
Yeah, and I mean, they did do something like that at Slammiversary, but each match had its individual spots, and it was very well booked and well put together, and this did not have that.
See, none of these, they all were just kind of sloppy messes.
Alrighty. Oh boy.
This part, some of you might want to actually search out and watch, because it was so unbelievably ridiculous.
Well, you know, Mouth, we advertise the Trash Palace on this show all the time. And
fair
I feel
enough.
As though...
You're right. This could have been a trashy movie. You're absolutely right. But if I want a trashy movie, I'll watch a trashy movie, Jay. I really don't like it when they go this far in wrestling and mix this kind of stuff. And I really thought this was a bad Lucha Underground kind of ripoff here.
So this is all taped. We get a quick recap of James Mitchell and Ali. And Mitchell says that the portal to the undead realm will be open. And Ali can go in and try to get Kira Hogan back. But if she sees her own soul, she's not allowed to take it.
Unbelievable.
So Ali lies in the coffin and then meets Mitchell in the undead realm. There's the highlight here for me is Jim Mitchell's jacket, which is just beautiful.
The flowers.
Red crushed velvet with white roses. It's amazing.
And not to mention his facial hair, eyebrows, beard, like he was looking
great. The guy's
great.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. He's in a bad situation here.
I would love to
great.
Do karaoke with him. Eh?
Listen,
wouldn't that be amazing?
I chat with Abyss about that.
That would be amazing.
So Ali is killing zombies in the undead world.
With axes. She's using an axe. There's blood being splattered
on
all
the camera.
Over the place. Like, you know, and at first I thought that was Su Yung, but Jay goes, oh, no, that's one of the zombies. So she killed off like two or three zombies. And then finally Su Yung got to Su Yung and just chopped an axe, stuck the axe right in her throat. There's blood all over the place. So then she went and rescued Kira Hogan at that point. And they both got in the coffin to go back. See, because you go in the coffin to go back to the real world from the undead realm. You get all this? And then Sinister Minister's there, and he goes, oh, I said I'd help get you here. I didn't say I'd help you back. And then there's a bit of light and flash and stuff. And then Rosemary shows up. Now, was Rosemary involved in this at all at any point?
I think she
was. In the build?
I think she was buried a long time. I think she was gone a long time ago. She's been off for a while. Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, Rosemary shows up, and she puts Hogan and Ali into the coffin and says, go, go, go. And then Su Yung comes back, pulls the axe out of her neck, and then her and Rosemary pull a Doctor Strange, and they like got these mystical fireballs, and they're shooting lightning at each other, and I'm just like, this is freaking ridiculous. So they had their battle, and then Kira and Ali, they got in the coffin, closed the door, and they made it back to the real world. You know, I know we complained about Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton and all that kind of stuff, but this was just like, this was a million mile.
It was just as bad.
It was just, oh no, I think it was worse.
I don't know. Those were really bad as well, Mouth.
I think it was,
this had actually more campiness to it.
I suppose.
This went so far that it's not. I'll take this over the Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton thing at WrestleMania with worms in the ring.
Yeah, right.
Or the
right.
one where they just go to the house.
Yeah,
I'll take it over those two.
It was quite the segment, and I'm guessing it was pretty tough for the crowd to just be sitting there watching this.
The ring being put together as well. You got to figure they had to put the whole ring back together for the last match.
That's why that segment went there, so they could put the ring together.
Hey, Mouth. Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Will you be joining me for Impact's next live pay-per-view, Homecoming, where they will return to the Asylum on January 6th.
I don't know, man. We'll talk about that later. I don't know.
Your Impact Wrestling Championship is the main event tonight. It's Johnny Impact versus Austin Aries. Aries is Killer Cross and the King of Wakanda, Moose, at ringside.
Moose comes out, he's back in the African gear now. It was crazy.
Impact has Taya Valkyrie at ringside. Okay, this match, it got so nasty at points.
I think they were trying to actually make it look like a shoot, because if the way it started, it was real intense. They were like really kicking each other and pounding on each other, and I think they were trying to maybe even convince us that they were pulling off a shoot at the beginning. But then eventually it got into, you know, the kind of stuff you'd expect, you know, Impact doing a split-legged moonsault off the barrier and the apron onto Aries, you know. But there was a lot of really, really stiff stuff. Like, Aries did a Death Valley driver on the apron that just looked really really nasty. Johnny did the top rope Spanish fly at one point. Aries did the 450 splash. And then the finish was Aries missed impact, and he did a dive to the outside, and he hit Valkyrie, who was out there to support Johnny. And then, but nothing came of it. He knocked her out, and nothing came of it.
Well, listen, If they fooled me, they fooled me. But there were aspects of this that really did feel like a shoot to me. And whatever happened at the end here,
The end was basically Johnny did the Starship Pain. He got the pin and he won the title. And Aries just, like, this totally reminded me of that Super Brawl pay-per-view with Sid Vicious and El Gigante, where El Gigante won and Sid did not sell a thing. He just got up, walked away to the back. And that's exactly what happened here. And he gave the finger to everybody in the crowd. So I don't know if they're shooting an angle, if something happened in the match, if something happened before the match, but it definitely gave you that feeling that something was going on, because Aries did not sell the loss at all.
Yeah, and if it's an angle, good for them. They're making us question it.
That's saying, at least it will get people talking, and maybe they'll check it out. But man, oh man, that was a lot of crap to get through to get to that.
Hey, did you check out tonight's Bound for Glory? We want your feedback on it. The phone lines are already open right now at 1-866-729-2562. We're going to take a break. We're going to run down some of the situation in Saudi Arabia a lot of people are on the lines and want to talk about that. So anything up for grabs from this week in the world of wrestling, 1-866-729-2562, Agnew Lavransky. It is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Each week, the second hour of Sunday night's main event includes the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer, Turnbuckle Trivia, and often the Triple Threat is in that hour as well. If you'd like to hear it, just scroll on over to patreon.com/snmeradio. Become a patron, and the second hour is yours. patreon.com/snmeradio.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and we are coming at you on TSN Radio. And now here's the news. It's basically what we are doing here. Reason being, there's a lot of controversy in regards to the WWE and the potential show that they are running, the Crown Jewel show in Saudi Arabia. Now, many of you have replied back to me this week on Twitter going, "What? What's going on?" Instead of Googling. So let me give you a recap, just a quick recap of what has gone on with this situation. So a contributor for the Washington Post named Jamal Khashoggi went missing on October 2nd after going to the Saudi Arabia embassy in Turkey. Now, Khashoggi was a U.S. resident, but a Saudi citizen. He was going to the consulate to pick up paperwork he needed to get married to his Turkish girlfriend. He walked in. He never left. He never walked out. Now, Turkish authorities believe he was killed and dismembered as ordered by the Saudi government because of his criticism of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's regime. It has been reported that the Turks have audio recordings proving Khashoggi was killed and dismembered inside the Saudi embassy. There are also now reports that link this plot to detain Khashoggi directly back to the Saudi crown prince, the same man that is responsible for the deal to present WWE Crown Jewel on November the 2nd. Now, this is a huge story in the news.
Yep.
The reason we're talking about it is obviously Crown Jewel is pending. It's coming up in just a couple weeks. And there are other conferences that are going on in Saudi Arabia, and news organizations have pulled out of them. Even Donald Trump has addressed this. I mean, he's more so, if we don't know the details, then we don't want to lose the $110 billion of arms deals. And, you know, there's a few curious factors here for the WWE, because WWE is linked to President Trump.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's it. Exactly. Linda McMahon is the head of small business in his. She's part of his cabinet, right? So there's that link there. And even several senators, of course, Democratic senators,
yes,
have come out and have said the WWE should pull out of this event. But we both know that McMahon's attitude is going to be much like Donald Trump's, because they are getting huge, huge money for these shows, somewhere in the scale of $45 to $50 million.
Well, it's
it could be for one or two, but we don't know.
It's either 25 or 50. Exactly,
yeah,
right. It's either 25
until
or short 50.
The financials come out. Do we really know if that's one solid number, if it's a combined
that's
number,
right,
what it is? But regardless of what it is, it's a hell of
a lot of money,
right?
And
it's huge.
By stopping this one event, what happens then is you jeopardize the deal, which could be for
more than one,
$500 million or potentially $1 billion over 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you have other large companies removing themselves from Saudi Arabia, Canada has nothing to do with Saudi Arabia.
Exactly. Canada's had a whole run in already. The Saudis pulled their Canadian ambassador and all kinds of stuff. That whole thing was a total mess. That was just a couple months ago. So it's, Saudi Arabia, there's a lot of conflict with a lot of different places, and rightfully so. This stuff is, the way they treat women, the way they treat with the press and anybody that criticizes them, this kind of stuff. I mean, obviously, to me, I think that the WWE should pull out of the show, but for them, I know it's not as cut and dry as that. And as of right now, as we speak, they are still saying that they are going.
Yeah, there was a few things that happened today with people stating there were rumors and reports out that WWE pulled the location off their website and took down some of the postings they had and now are referring to Crown Jewel without Saudi Arabia being attached to it. However, at last report, the event is still on. Now, you said, they should do this. I mean, morally, yes, they should. But they've gotten in. I mean, you dance with the devil.
That's it.
It's essentially what's going to happen here.
Yeah, well, that's it. And the dance has already started. And there was criticism with the last one.
Oh,
because
yeah,
the women weren't allowed to perform on it. And the Saudi Arabians actually got upset because they aired a commercial that showed the women.
That's right. The WWE aired a commercial that showed female performers, and it was indecent,
yes,
according to the way that the Saudi Arabian beliefs.
This has already happened. Having the Linda McMahon connection to the American government as well makes it really interesting as well. It's a big mess, and I just honestly, WWE's track record is not good with this kind of stuff, and I it should be an easiest pie to pull out of this and get out of there, but I don't think they will, Jay.
Let's consider the other mandates that are in the company, too, is what also makes it more controversial, because you have WWE Evolution, the women's evolution, the women's revolution happening like 6 days before.
And I think that's why that was actually scheduled.
Oh, yeah.
Is because it was coming after
it's
the Saudi
so
Arabian
transparent.
Show. Exactly, where the women aren't allowed to go. So, this is what we'll do. We'll do a whole pay-per-view with the women, right?
Yeah.
It's got nothing really to do with
that. Then we do a whole pay-per-view for the men a few days later.
Yeah,
a men's only and a women's only.
It's like they would like to push this idea that we're pushing the women and we're keeping them strong and it's a new day and they're getting their chance finally, when obviously it's just to cover up for the fact that no women can perform on the Saudi Arabian show.
Meanwhile, you also have, your top female executives do not make the trip to Saudi Arabia. Stephanie McMahon did not make the trip to Saudi Arabia. It's all done by the men in the company. Now, we're talking about shoulds versus wills here, and I put up the Sunday Night Survey, which is a available right now. It's still running at SNME Radio on Twitter. Will WWE cancel Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia? Right now, 23% of you think that they will, and 77% think that they will not.
I'm surprised.
We'll leave this up. Let's go to the phones, because the reason why we went with this off the top here after Bound for Glory is people are not calling for Bound for Glory. Shocking, Mouth.
Shocking after that Ali match there. Oh, boy.
Well, the funny thing is,
realm.
I also put up a survey about who is watching. Here's another one I put up today on Twitter. Are you watching Bound for Glory? Only 10% of people out of everyone that responded to this said yes to watching. 15% said they were going to watch it later, but that leaves 75% said flat out, No.
Yeah.
Not watching Bound for Glory. And I got a feeling the ones that said I'll watch it later may listen to this show.
And not watch it at all.
Listen, they might want to go to the Undead Realm.
That's
just
true.
To see what it was
check
all about.
That segment out, maybe. Yeah, because it was so ridiculous.
Yeah, super ridiculous. But just know you're going in with those expectations. All right, so let's go to some calls here. We're going to go to Paul from New Jersey first. And Paul, Saudi Arabia seems to be on your mind.
Very much is. Evening, guys. I think what really disturbed me at first was not just the fact that they went to Saudi Arabia, but they were actually, like, pushing this phony propaganda.
Yes.
Adversity. Like, that was what was really disturbing. And now, you know, with this journalist thing, it's no surprise if mainstream media in both Canada and the United States are probably going to pick up on this deal. Like, I could see, like, a Daily Show, and, you know, it wouldn't take a genius. And I'm surprised they don't get more guff for the Susan Komen thing, so this is just business as usual. But lastly, like, as a person who grew up in the New York and New Jersey area, you know, it's, like, heavily thought that the Saudis played a huge role in funding 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So to see dozens and dozens of American companies gladly do business with the Saudis, and seeing something like the WWE not only do business with them, but, like, actually, like, push phony propaganda is really disturbing.
Yeah, yeah, no
absolutely.
Doubt. And I think you echo the sentiments of many listeners out there and many people that are watching this. And it's a matter of human rights versus big business.
Yes.
And, you know, you're also dealing with the president right now that is definitely on the side of big business.
Yep.
As
yep.
opposed to human rights. It would be very interesting if it wasn't the Trump regime and was instead Clinton or Sanders that was in power right
Obama
now.
Or Obama or something.
Or
you know,
back, you go to you back know, to Obama yeah. and see what would happen.
Yeah, exactly. But that's it. And that's a good point that he brings up, too, that they actually painted this picture that, oh, there's these great reforms going on in Saudi Arabia, and this prince is leading this new charge. It's like just absolutely ridiculous.
Let's continue on here and go to our next phone call. Hanzi is on the line. Again, Saudi Arabia is the topic.
What's going on, guys? A nice recap of Bound for Glory. I appreciate it.
Well, you figure you're not watching, so we'll recap it for you.
No, I'll try to... No, but with the Saudi Arabia deal, I'm glad that this is being called out, because as a Muslim, people always, like, you know, I'm glad people are calling out, but there's a lot of ignorance in America where they think that every Muslim country is like Saudi Arabia, when a lot of Muslim countries don't really like, because that's where, like, the most extreme version of Wahhabism is what they call it, is performed over there. So Saudi Arabians don't like actual real good Muslims as well. And I find it odd because, you know, one of these WWE executives a couple of months ago, I don't know, he got fired because he was the guy who organized the Saudi Arabia deal, and his wife was putting out anti-Muslim propaganda on her Twitter page, and that executive got fired. But he was the guy who actually organized the Saudi Arabia deal, and I thought that'd be more picked up on. But it's going to be interesting, because I think with WWE associated with Trump, I think it's going to get worse, because, like, even if you guys follow this guy, progressive Sean King, he speaks about injustices, about, you know, police shooting black people and all that, and he does, like, a lot of progressive things. He even called out The Rock on Twitter recently, just like a couple of days ago, saying, Rock, are you going to say anything? Because The Rock, a couple of months ago, he was all chummy with the Saudi prince, the same Saudi prince, like, there's pictures of Instagram where they're, like, chumming it up and all that, and people actually took The Rock to task as well for not calling it. And I just think the more that the WWE is tied to Trump, that this is going to really, like, start putting the eye on WWE's practices, because even some progressive news companies, they were even dissecting WWE's concussion lawsuit. I mean,
well, Hanzi, here's the thing, though. Like, let's also remember it's still wrestling, and a lot of the time it does get pushed off to the side. Okay, thanks for the call. We're getting a double loop on Hanzi's line. A lot of the time it does get pushed off to the side because, you know, wrestling's looked upon as, oh, it's just wrestling.
Right, that's right.
It's curious, though. There's just so much money in this deal.
Yeah, and this is on a world scale. Like,
yeah.
This is such a huge event. This is the Saudi Arabian, the murder of this journalist, Khashoggi. This has been a major, major news story, and I think that connection, and I think, you know, senators calling them out and other journalists, there's already been big stories by Sports Illustrated, the Washington Post. Like, this is not going to get ignored. This is going to be a big story. And we, you know, the times that we live in nowadays, people are much more, they're knowledgeable about the stuff that's going on, and this kind of stuff doesn't get to slip through the cracks like it might in the past. And I think it has potential to be very damaging if they continue on the way they are.
But here's the thing. I mean, it's a bit of a catch-22 for them because, you know, look at the stock, right? If you drop the deal, then you're dropping all of that money. Will the stock price drop because of that? Will investors be upset? Or will investors just go, well, it makes sense morally? Again, business and morals,
yes,
they are two separate categories.
They don't go hand in hand.
So they really don't go hand in hand. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. We might talk about some things in the ring next.
Really?
Maybe we'll talk about the actual product.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that next. We'll come back. A lot happened on Raw this week. It was a busy week.
It was packed this week.
So we'll talk about that when we return. It's Sunday night's main event. We are still taking your phone calls. So if you want to get in, by all means, it's 1-866-729-2562. Sunday night's main event, TSN Radio.
If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents.
Super Kick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Friday nights is when all hell breaks loose as Major League Wrestling Fusion takes over beIN Sports. Watch as some of the biggest stars in the sport, like MVP, Loki, Filthy Tom Lawler, Jimmy Havoc, Barrington Hughes, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and many more battle it out for championship gold to truly prove who is the best of the best. Major League Wrestling Fusion, beIN Sports.
Contact your local cable provider and get beIN Sports today.
Oh, I like the mind games of Conquistador.
Look at that dance.
Pretty awesome. Wow! What a job at suplex!
I thought he was Spanish.
Another one! A trio of German suplexes!
Wait a minute!
Are you kidding me? Corbin's eliminated! Conquistador!
Well, Mouth, I will say, on Monday night, they got me.
Did you, why, really?
Here's what happened. So I'm watching, actually I was watching Tuesday morning, and I don't read any spoilers, but I always watch Tuesday morning now. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, oh, Heath Slater comes up, and he does the thing with Corbin in
right.
the back.
He said you're no good.
Yeah, and then they do the whole thing, and I see the Conquistador. I'm like, ah, oh, it's Heath Slater.
No way. You can tell by the outfit that was not Heath Slater,
I didn't look.
Jay. Oh, come on.
I didn't look closely.
Did you see the paunch on that Conquistador?
I did not look closely.
There was no, I knew right away it was not Heath Slater.
I thought it was Heath Slater, was like, oh. And then he did the German, and I'm like, oh, it's Angle. Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was a great Angle.
Yeah. No, I thought it was a good way to get Angle in the mix there, and it was interesting. I just didn't think he looked too good in that Conquistador outfit.
I didn't think he looked bad. I thought he moved pretty well, and he was doing the roles.
Yeah, no, just, you know.
Too many roles with the roles.
I always picture the Conquistadors as slimmer, I guess, after it was Edge and Christian and all that kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, yeah, and then, but regardless.
But no, it was good. It was well done, and he gets to be in that match.
Well, the tournament, the World Cup tournament to declare the best in the world. And this, despite what's happening, I mean, they're continuing on with the Crown Jewel event. And tomorrow they're continuing on with these
qualifying matches. Yep.
So tomorrow night it's Ziggler versus Ambrose and McIntyre versus Rollins on tomorrow night for qualifying matches. But I mean, you could just see that. The Saudis were booking this. You're getting Kurt Angle back. You're getting
Shawn Michaels back. And
well,
stuff like
yes,
that,
but I just meant in the tournament itself because you have that. You have Rey Mysterio. You have John Cena.
Yes.
Along with
that's what they want.
I was actually surprised just flipping over to SmackDown for a hot sec here. Big Show returns to be beaten by Randy Orton.
Yeah, I was surprised. And you know what? Show looked great. He looked great.
Well, he's moving slower, though. I mean, he's had the hip surgery,
sure,
right?
But I think for where he is at this point in his career, I thought he looked pretty good.
But why come back?
I agree.
Why do that?
Well, why put him in the tournament?
Well, he's not in the tournament.
No, but I mean, he put him in this qualifying match. Like, if he's coming back, he shouldn't be losing his first match.
He should be in the tournament. I'm sure he's delighted he doesn't have to go.
Well, probably.
Like,
yeah,
imagine
well,
Big
yeah, exactly.
Show.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't want to. You
exactly.
think that guy with
yeah,
his
but
bones?
Could, but they might try to do something. I remember they did that 50-man battle royal
they
at
could.
The last one. They could easily try and do something to get everybody over there.
You're very, no, you know what, Mouth? It's going to be a smaller crew this
yeah.
year, this time around.
Yeah.
Because think about it. If you're doing a tournament, that eats up a
that's
whole
true.
Bunch
that
of matches.
Your, yeah, that's
guys
true.
Are repeating.
Yes.
But, you know, my point with Big Show is that he comes back and he just does that one match. Like, I actually thought Big Show's back. Clearly, he will be the one going into the tournament.
I didn't think he was going to beat Randy Orton.
Well, I thought Ty Dillinger was going to run
right.
out and interfere. And
right.
because you've had Dillinger just destroy the past few weeks
yes.
with Randy Orton.
Yes.
So I thought it was an easy distraction
nowhere
and Big Show goes over.
Nowhere to be found.
Yeah, nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found.
All right, Monday night. Here's one thing that, you know, as surprising as the angle thing, I guess maybe was just for me. I enjoyed that, though. What I didn't enjoy was, and I was both surprised and then didn't enjoy it, was the entire Trish Stratus appearance.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. They were in Chicago
mm-hmm.
on Monday night.
Yes.
At a smart wrestling town,
yep.
which failed to be smart when Brie Bella was put in the ring with, the Riot Squad member. That his name I'm
Ruby.
Blanking
wasn't
on.
Wasn't it Ruby?
No, it wasn't Ruby. It was the one that she kicked in the face
Morgan.
Last week. Liv Morgan,
yeah.
that's it. Thank you. So, and they put them in the ring to do this stare down, and the crowd did not react. Well, the crowd also did not react to Trish Stratus coming out to the ring. There was little, did you
yep.
notice this?
Yes, yes.
Little to no
yes.
reaction for Trish Stratus,
yes.
which shocked me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely
yep.
shocked me. And I don't know if this is just that there's a generation that has not seen a lot of Trish because she's been away for so long.
It's been a while. You got to remember, it's been a while.
But a lot of those stars from that era, when they do come back, you automatically get that pop for people that
yeah.
they haven't seen for a while. That it was deafening silence. And then you had her come out and do this.
You know what? Maybe because people already knew that match was part of the Evolution pay-per-view, that she's going to be.
I
they
guess.
Already knew she's going to be there. Maybe it's not
she
as big a surprise.
She popped up in Toronto, I guess, you know,
you know
but. But along with that, I think part of it, and we had talked about this on the show when you were on last time, the promotion for this match was horrendous, and it turns out what the story is here.
Yeah, it's a bait and switch.
Yeah,
it's a
complete
bait and switch.
Bait and switch.
Exactly. Like, the idea was that it was supposed to be Trish against Alexa Bliss, and Jay and I both said, this is ridiculous. Why don't you do an angle? What are you doing? Just announcing the match out of the blue? But that's because they wanted to use it to sell tickets, and they had no, because Trish herself, I don't think, wanted to do a full-on singles match. She wants to be in a tag with Lita. She wants to work with Lita. So
and this is also, and it backfired.
Yeah, I agree. It didn't work.
Well, I'm not just saying that the angle itself didn't work, but along with that, it did not sell tickets.
No.
The ticket sales for Evolution are poor.
Right.
Well, not poor, but it's not sold out. The tickets didn't fly out of the box
right.
office that first day
right.
for a declarative Trish versus Alexa match with no motivation behind it. And now with even less motivation
yeah.
behind it, Trish and Lita, which I understand them wanting to do a tag team together. They're legitimately like best
yeah,
friends.
Like, exactly. And if you're going to come back, you want to work with someone that you're familiar with too, right?
Sure. They want to do that tag match. It's easier to do a tag
sure.
match. You have
for
to do less.
For both
That's
of them.
That's fine. But what's Mickey doing on the other side?
Yeah.
Then put him up against two young ones. And listen, I saw Mickey taunting Trish on Twitter to say, hey, let's do that WrestleMania match over again. When they had that WrestleMania match, they stole the show.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that match.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. It wasn't a great WrestleMania, but they were tremendous.
Yeah.
They did the spot that's been cut out of all pay-per-view reworks ever since with Mickey licking the hand.
Yes.
It was an excellently worked match. I think except for the finish where either the kick was missed or the bulldog was missed,
right.
something like that. Other than that, it was a great match. You could do that. There's a reason to do that.
Yeah.
There's a rationale behind it. With this, there could have been a reason for Trish and Alexa, but the execution was so poor, and now the tag match doesn't make any sense
yeah,
to me.
It doesn't, and it, you know, it would have been so much better, even if you were going to kind of do a bait and switch down the road, you should have done some sort of angle to start it off rather than just announcing it cold. I really think that's where the problem was, is that you just announced the match cold, so people go, oh yeah, okay, that's a match on the show, and there's no build.
Mouth, we've talked too much about in the ring because Saudi Arabia is lurking its head again.
Well, there you go.
And Greg from the Peg. Remember Greg
yes,
from the Peg?
Sure do.
Greg from the Peg is on the line and wants to talk about the Saudi show. Greg,
okay.
I feel as though your thoughts may be slightly animated in regards to this.
No, it's not. It's calm and rational. Hey, Dan and Mouth, how are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks.
Long time no hear.
I'm trying my best to keep in the picture.
Okay. Nice to see that you're kicking ass and taking A's and stuff. So, anyow, this show must not go on. I'm thinking do not want to be the vice president of public relations explaining why we are going to Saudi Arabia with the geopolitical and the toxic environment that we are now in with this nation. I will say that talents' lives are at risk in terms of public safety in regards to this major development. This show must not, I will say, this show must not go on. It reeks of immoral high ground and unprofessional high ground with the host nation. And if I had the disposable income, I will not see this pay-per-view because of where it is live and located. And I do not willfully respect, discondone the nation in terms of how they're treating journalism and media and stuff. I'm thinking, how can like a wrestling person, media such as Allah, Dave Meltzer, if he wants to go to Saudi Arabia and cover this event for a wrestling entertainment magazine, or any of the traditional media covering this event in that country, they will be their lives will be extremely at risk.
So, yeah, I think what you're saying is it's easy to cancel for the rationale of danger to the talent going over.
Correct.
Okay.
And as well as for people who are working with the WWE and the wrestling media and the non-wrestling media as well, too.
So it's the idea that they could save face by saying we're not going because we're afraid the talent is going to get hurt.
Yeah, and that's what I'm pulling out of what Greg said.
If I was hypothetical, if I am this is between the Saudis and the United States, but if I was a Canadian talent wrestler, I don't want to go there because there has been stuff between our Canadian government and Saudi Arabia and stuff. I don't want to be there.
Yeah, you know, it would be interesting. Thanks for the call, Greg. Always nice to hear from you. It's interesting because you're right. Right now, Canada and the Saudis don't get along. I mean, last time Sami Zayn was not allowed to perform there because that wasn't going to happen. Now you've added Canada into not getting along with the Saudis. So does that mean, Owens is not going, but like, Natalia's not going. Wait, who's Canadian and on the roster?
Trish.
Well, she's not going. That's a female.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, no, you're right.
Bobby Roode.
Can Bobby Roode go? Yeah.
Can a Canadian go
but,
there
I mean,
right
there's
now?
All kinds of, like Sweden has had issues with Saudi Arabia lately. Canada has had issues. Like, there's several countries. It's not just the United States and this. There's several countries that have had issues with Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia's their reaction usually is they pull their ambassador to that country. They pulled the Canadian ambassador. They pulled the Swedish ambassador. Like, it's ridiculous. I don't honestly, even Vince McMahon, I don't understand how he feels he can go through with this. I know it's a ton of dough, but really, it's ridiculous.
You know what Greg brought up there, the coherent part, where he said the talent, if I were talent right now, this would be a horrifying potential experience.
I'm sure lots of them are dreading it right now. I'm sure there's probably lots of them that aren't too keen on going now. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. When we come back, we are going to take a break here. When we come back just after midnight, you know what that means. Dave Meltzer will join us next. Guaranteed. We're starting with Saudi Arabia. we'll get into a little Bound for Glory after
maybe.
That.
But hopefully some Don Leo Jonathan.
Yes, we will do that. Dave. We got the news in the second hour as well. So we'll get to it all. It's Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Well, that's hour one of Sunday night's main event, and each and every week, hour two includes the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer, turnbuckle trivia, feedback, and often the triple threat is in the second hour as well. If you'd like to hear it, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. Contributions start for as little as $4 a month. And that also includes our patron-exclusive podcast that I often mention on the show. Once again, patreon.com/SNMEradio.
The world of MLW Radio never stops.